Sunday morning, it's Adult Sunday School. Hopefully you're awake this morning. If not, you know I get loud. So, and Lori can always poke Bill in the side when he starts snoring. And it's 5:23, I know because my birthday yesterday, 2021. And we're going to get right into the message, and we're going to look at resurrection power. I told Mary it's one of my favorite subjects, doctrines, truths to teach on. And I think an understanding of Christ's resurrection and what power that holds, and Christ in us, resurrection power, I think lacks in a lot of Christendom. If you think about it, I was thinking this morning, you know, and what it took, the power of the resurrection. Think of all the sins in the world. I mean, I've sinned millions of times, zillions in my life, right? So, and Christ rose victorious over death. What power? And we got resurrection power. Do you know everything? This what, you know, as you dwell and meditate on God's word and truths, everything the Holy Spirit, through our Apostle Paul, calls us to, we can do. Why? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? That's power, man. That's a vitality for the Christian life. And you know, sometimes people, yeah, you know, somebody's probably might be out there thinking it ain't Easter. Is he preaching on resurrection? Because every day is resurrection. Yeah. So we're going to take a look at the importance of the resurrection in our salvation. And not only that, in our life, our daily walk. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:17, please. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Could somebody give me some water, please? My boy Jacob, he wasn't ready. So I said, you got to ride. So I didn't want to be later. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Thank you, boy. One more time, Mary says three times. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Let me get there. And if Christ not be raised, if he didn't rise from the dead, what's it say? Yeah, your faith is in vain. It's empty. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:17.
17.
Let's start in 16. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. See, Paul's, there was people teaching, you know, oh, everybody give me some. We could do some baptism after, no. We won't go there, right? Now, you've already been baptized, right? By the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But, you know, speaking of that baptism, you know, we're united with Christ. We're in union with Christ. Not in his early ministry, right? Paul said we know about Christ in the flesh, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we know about, you know. And you learn things even about your Christian life there by Christ. What did he do? He said, I can't do anything on my own. He's God, right? He's the one who spoke everything into existence. All things were created by him and for him, right? By him, think of this. All things consist. You know what that means? That's why I love going to the Greek. And you can understand words better. Consist has the idea he holds all things together. He's a glue. He holds the universe together. Yeah. And he lives in us. Why? Sometimes I think, why would you want a relationship with me, God? Why do you want me to spend time with you and during the day? I like Dave did a great message last Sunday, how God wants an intimate relationship with us. You know? Like David, who are man that thou art, you know, he thinks about us even, you know. So, in the context here, Paul's correcting some teaching. kind of liberalism, if you want. Christ didn't really resurrect. That's just, you know, when he's on the cross, it's a demonstration how we should be self-sacrificing. I wish liberals wouldn't call themselves Christians, because they're not. Because if you don't believe Christ died literally, he was buried literally, and he rose literally, then you ain't saved. You know that? Didn't Paul say that's what gospel is here? Go back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that good news which I preach to you, which you have received and on which you stand. So he's going to say this is what how a person gets saved, and you stand, you stay saved. By which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. So if you believe something else, you believe it in vain. That it's just a good moral story. You know, for children and old women, right? That's what the liberals have that idea. But Paul says, but I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, Christ gave it to him from heaven, right? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You got to believe this to be saved. So when liberals, I won't mention the president's wife, who I'm being nice, you know, won't get up in this politics up in here. She claims to be a Christian. Yeah, but they don't believe in that. They don't believe this. They believe Christians is somebody who just tries to be a good, nice person. No. A Christian is somebody who's been made alive spiritually. If you're a Christian right now, and you probably don't feel it, you have the resurrected life of Christ in you. It's a reality. And we live by faith. We don't live by sight, right? But when you start dwelling and thinking on it and acting on it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now you're walking in that truth. But we have to appropriate that by faith. Right? Reckon ourselves dead to sin and what? And alive. Because why are you alive? You're alive in Christ. You know? For me, when I start thinking about that, I want to get Pentecostal and start jumping around in this place. Because it's exciting, I think. You know, there's a lot of people who are dead out there. You know, when somebody tells me, you know, I'm spiritual, but, and I'm thinking, or sometime I'll say something. Well, when we were dead in our sins, dead, right? That's what Paul says. How could they be spiritual if you're spiritually dead? And they say, I'm not religious. Yes, you are. Because that's your religion. Humanism, atheism is a man-made religion. So Paul's correcting here, and he's saying, if Christ didn't rise, then we're not going to. Then, you know, we're to be pitied of most men, right? Because we believed it. And that causes us, because there is a real Christ. He lives in us, His Spirit, His presence is in us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. I can do all things through Christ. What? Through Christ. In us. That's why you can do it. It's not you saying, I'm going to commit my life to God. And you know, I used to do that. And as soon as you get, that's pride. And what happens? Pride comes for a fall? Yeah. I fell a lot, especially in my Christian walk as a young believer. I mean, Bill ain't here now. He always waits for me to say I come up short every day. I still do, but it's... Paul learned what? Not to focus on himself, right? See, it's when we focus on Christ. And the veil from the law or any performance-based system, when it's taken off your mind, because that's how Satan blinds the world, right? Keeps them blind by performance. You got to earn God's. And then you get prideful, right? Because I'm doing all the right things. I remember when I was a young Pentecostal and I went to a revival driving my 10-speed every night for 2 months. Well, I used to mess up and get angry, disappointed, and before I got saved, I did drugs. So I would get hurt, disappointed, and say, forget it. This ain't me, this goody two-shoes, you know, and I'd go get high. Well, I didn't get high for 3 months. Because, you know, you get pumped up right in them Pentecostal churches, you know, get the organ, the drums going, you know. And so some guy told me, says, yeah, I heard you're on the wagon, Muggs. You know, that's my old nickname, Muggsy. And I says, nah, bro, I ain't on the wagon. I'm driving the wagon. Guess what happened soon after that? Because I got puffed up. The flesh likes performance, right? Look at me. But don't overlook me, right? That's so wonderful. You know? And what does Paul say? We're jars of clay, right? So it's not of us. But that treasure in us, that resurrection life of Christ, God's Spirit in us, that's what can be our strength, right? Strength to carry on, like the song says. I love that song. I get tears in my eyes because I think, you know, you had mercy on me, God. Gave me grace. It touched my heart, you know. All right, go to, did I do 17? Yeah, for if, in 16, for if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins. It wouldn't have mattered if Christ died for our sins if he didn't rise from the dead. Because you know why? If he just died for our sins, you know, we were dead, right? When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, what? God made you alive, right? So what if God just cleansed us, right? And only dealt with our past sins, like before we got saved. And all of a sudden you sin. What's the wages of sin? What would happen? No, you just got to confess your sins and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, right? Ain't that what's taught? No, sir, no. Praise God when you get free to that. When you realize in context that's to an unbeliever, admitting I'm a sinner. If you say you have not sinned, you make God out to be a liar. Right? So that's to an unbeliever. But to a believer, I always say, thank you, Lord. I live in forgiveness. I don't deserve it, but thank you. And I want to serve you for that. And now, so when we, if Christ only died for our sins, then when we sin, but we still had a bigger problem, right? We were dead spiritually, alive, soulishly alive, mind, emotion, and will, right? But what is death? The absence of life, right? What is spiritual death? You don't have the life of God in you. What God breathed in Adam. Remember, he said, when you eat that tree, dying you shall die. From the knowledge of good and evil, in that day, the Spirit of God left him. He couldn't pass it on, right? Ain't you glad Christ came? To die for you. To die for me, personally. You know, it's been said, if you were the only person in the world, Christ would have died for you. And I used to think, does that sound sort of like how, you know, how they say, oh, you're so worthy that you're worth so much. Christ gave his life for you. Yeah. And I always think, we weren't worthy. It's just God knew what he could do in you. He knew what he could accomplish in you. That's what gives you meaning and purpose. You know? If I had to depend upon myself, God help me. Help me. So anyway, in the resurrection, Paul talks about, we'll probably get to it, because he rose, we're justified. See, if we were dead and we were unrighteous in Adam, right, then we need to be cleansed, but once for all. See, God don't do things halfway, does he? He dealt with the sin issue once for all. We have, in the Greek, that's possess, right now. We live in forgiveness. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, but So we're cleansed, right? And let's say he dealt with all the sins. So we get to there, right? But there's still another problem, right? We were unrighteous in Adam. God can't deal with unrighteous people. You can't have communion with the perfect, holy God. You know, we look at Paul's epistles and we love the grace of God, don't we? We bask in the grace of God. But same God's in the whole Old Testament. Go back there. I'm reading through. I'm in Ezekiel now. And how Israel over and over fell into idolatry. And he's a holy God. He's still a holy God. Same God. And people think, always one verse out of context, right? Or a verse, and they make a whole doctrine out of it. That's where you get a lot of false teaching. My God wouldn't send no one to hell. God is love. Yeah. Keep reading. Read the book. Not only is God love, that's his essence. A part of his what's that word on? One of his characteristics, if you want. But God is holy and he's righteous too, right? So he's love, and what happens? His justice has to enforce his righteousness. See, a good judge won't let a crime go, will they? Or they're not a just judge. God had to punish sin. And because his justice enforces his righteousness. So he's got to punish sin. That's part of who he is. But God is love too. And God demonstrated, right? He didn't talk about it. He demonstrated his love in this. While we were still what? What's a sinner? What do you think about? Sin. I think of filth. You know? Rebellion. While we were still there. Didn't deserve it, right? Okay. God, Christ died for us. So, now when you trust Christ died for your sins, right? You got to believe that. You believe he died and he rose. Now God declares you righteous. Now God can give a righteous person spiritual life, eternal life, right? That's why that's so important in our salvation. But now, as we go through here, what time does Sunday school go to? So 10:30. All right, let's go to keep going then. Verse 20 to 22 of 1 Corinthians 15. I love this. Don't you love them, but God, or but nows of Paul? Time passed, but now, dispensation of grace, and things to come. We're in the but now, right? So, verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead, and he's become the first fruits of them that sleep. He's talking about the bodies are sleeping. It's not soul sleep, like some, you know, your extreme hyper, them are what you call hyper dispensationalists, or extreme. They accuse us as mid-acts dispensationalists of that. They don't even know what one is. But they got to call you something because they can't defend it here. So they call you names. You know, let's talk about the facts. Let's not call each other names, right? And if they want to push it, you know, I have a label for them. Acts 2 dispensationalists or premature dispensationalists. The body of Christ didn't start at Pentecost. Was that anything new? Peter said this is what was spoken about Joel and, you know, all the Old Testament prophets and that. They spoke about things. You know, Joel says God will pour out his spirit, you know. And it wasn't new. It was the fulfillment of that earthly program, right? Not till you come to Paul. Acts chapter 9. I think Acts chapter 9 is the most, when understanding that's when the dispensation of grace began, the body of Christ began, it's the most consistent view of Scripture. And things make sense. I always say, now don't get me wrong, we can learn from Acts 2 dispensationalists. about some things, like Bob George. We got blessed through his ministry, right? I met them at one of his conferences, actually. And I learned a lot about the finale of the cross, the reality of the resurrection. Learned a lot from him and his ministry. But he's Acts 2. He said, you know, now when you get to Ananias and Sapphira, where, you know, he falls dead, she comes in later, hey, where's my hubby? You're going to be carried out of here too. Because lying to God, lying to the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, what do you do with that? Bob George, and like, I'm not putting him down. I thank God for him all the time and things I learned from him. But I always tell people, don't follow one teacher and everything they believe. You follow what you know from this word. Because where they're off, you'll go off. Because you just follow them. Yeah. And anyway, he's teaching on Ananias and Sapphira. Well, he understood the finale of the cross. God ain't punishing us today. So what do you do with that? So what did he say? He says, it doesn't say God struck him dead. I'm looking. I'm like, no, I don't. But see, he's tiptoeing, doing a tiny Tim around the tulips. You know, because you see that. And if you understand some things about grace, the finality of the cross, reality of the resurrection, what that means, you say, well, it can't be God. It was God because it wasn't a dispensation of grace yet. And in Christ, that was that early kingdom program, right? When he comes back, he's going to rule with the rod of iron. So yeah, they were both struck dead because they lied back then. You know, they lied about what they gave. You know how many people be struck dead today lying about their tithes? You know, we don't got to worry about it. We don't teach tithing, right? We teach giving generously within your income what you choose to get. That's grace, you know. So the work can go on, you know. Let me see here. So this is talking about too. But in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. That's like the first fruit out of your crop, if you think. There's going to be more, right? So Christ first, and then there's going to be other resurrection. We're going to be resurrected. If we die, I'm doing the wake, keep me in prayer on June 12th, memorial service. And I don't know if she was saved or not. I knew she went to a Lutheran church. There's a friend of mine, her mom. And so it's a lot easier doing wakes when you know the person's saved. Because we have that hope, right? The rapture. Going to meet him again in the air. But so keep that in prayer. But and I always want to honor the person. But I always want to take that opportunity because they're looking at death. They're thinking about that. Unbelievers don't want to think about that. I mean, you shouldn't dwell on that. You know, who was that crazy guy just saying about, I hate life, and he had all the makeup on. And it was such a dark view. He probably thought about that all the time, saying about suicide. But anyway, we don't want to dwell on that, but it's a reality. So I'm going to explain. Why is that? You know, and go back to Genesis for that. And then, what's the hope? Christ rose victorious over death, right? And, you know, you throw the gospel out there. I like how the pastor does it. He kind of does it a lot the same, the wakes I went to. Tosh says nice things about the person, but they weren't good enough to go to heaven. And then you see some people in there sitting out there. Yeah, and then he says some more nice things, but that wouldn't get him into heaven. They ain't good enough. And then he'll give the gospel how, like, if they're a believer, how they're in heaven right now. So go to Romans 5:10. Back up the book, Romans 5:10. I love this verse. It explains salvation. Paul does what salvation is, because like I said, a lot of Christians just think being a Christian means I'm forgiven of my sins and I'm on my way to heaven. That's half the gospel, right? Christ died for your sins. What else did he do? What's the other half? He rose from the dead, right? Well, what's the amplifications of his rising from the dead? Romans 10, 5:10, I'm sorry. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So what did his death do? We know in Ephesians 1, 6 or 7, that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So it brought, he redeemed us through his blood, right? We have reconciliation through the blood of Christ, where we were separated from God because of sin. God demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. So people say, well, that doesn't mean people are forgiven, because they think reconciliation and forgiveness is salvation. It's not. What's the other part of this verse? What's it say? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. He died for all, right? Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Well, that's, here's salvation. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what? Life. That word in the Greek is zoe. It's a quality of life. It's the same kind of life that God has, spiritual life. So we're saved by his resurrection. We're forgiven. We're reconciled through his death. But it's life that makes you become spiritually alive. That's salvation. You can't have spiritual life without forgiveness, right? And also in his resurrection and through his blood, we're declared righteous. You're covered by he who knew no sin, what? Christ, right? He knew no sin. Paul talks about how he humbled himself and became man. Somebody pointed that out, I don't know if it was Dave last week. Think about God. Christ was in heaven, right? Angels were worshiping him. Everybody knew who he was. The one who created everything. He even created them, right? What did it take to become one with us? This world that was in rebellion against God, right? Through religion, through it's dysfunctional. Everything's messed up. Chaos. Man keeps trying to bring in peace, right? They talk about it. John Lennon, she used to love that song, Imagine. Imagine there's no hell, there's no heaven. I'm going to hang myself here. Huh? And I listen to words on songs. You got to discern, because music can get past your critical thinking. And I said, honey, I don't want to imagine, because it's not true. There's a reality, heaven and hell. I don't want to imagine that there's no heaven. We have that hope, right? The blessed, the rapture, where Christ comes. We get new bodies that won't want to sin. They won't get sick no more. You won't get headaches when it's going to rain. I'll get my stomach muscles back, what they took out. And I'll probably get a few inches on height, I'm thinking. A little bit more hair. That's a blessed hope. Because he rose, we know we're righteous before God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? Righteous. You are the, if you're in Christ, you're the righteousness of God in him. I got 1 minute. Go to Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. But God, there's another one, huh? Paul got a whole lot of that. Huh? I love these. But God, see, God interceded, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even, look at how undeserved we were. And we still are. Even when we were dead in sins, that was man's problem. Somebody out there watching today, or somebody here, could have been in church all your life. Don't mean you're saved. Until you trust, you realize I can't save myself. You can know all this grace doctrine, you know that? I can know facts, but not have trusted in it. And realize I can't save myself. But Christ, even when I was dead in my sins, what happened? Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, that word in the Greek means made alive. Regenerated, if you want. He made us alive, has quickened us together. How? With Christ. In what? Resurrection, right? We're made alive by the resurrection. If we're reconciled to God by the death of the Son, how much more shall we be saved by what? His life, resurrection life. That's what it means to be a believer. You are indwelt literally by Christ's resurrection life. And it's not some, you might feel it sometime if you dwell on it. It's something you live by faith. You reckon it so. That means you count as true because God said that we died with Christ, Romans 6, right? You're not, that's who you were in Adam. Buried, and you rose with Christ. Now because you're spiritually alive, totally righteous, what does Paul say? I'm not going to finish up because I got to close out. Romans 12:1-2. This is grace. God gave you a gift, right? Salvation, eternal life. He made you spiritually alive. Today is a gift, right? Now what you do with that gift is your gift to God. Romans 12:1-2, and we'll close with prayer. In view of God's mercies, his loving kindness, think about his grace, his unconditional love for you. In view of that, offer your bodies, everything you are. What's in your body? Your spirit, your soul, mind, emotion, and will. Your bodies, your fingers, your eyes, your mouth. Offer it to God. Holy and acceptable. Who made you holy and acceptable? God declared you righteous. He can use you. So God don't want dead sacrifices. Just come to church and, you know, just pew warmers. He wants living. He wants to produce the Holy Spirit to take what Christ did and make that real in our experience. And what do you say? Offer your bodies to God, right? This is your reasonable or logical act of divine service, worship. Service is worship. When you serve God, you're worshiping Him. So isn't it wonderful that God can use you? Let's close. And me. Lord, sometimes I just get choked up thinking about that. How your Son died for me personally. I would have threw myself away. I would have thrown myself in hell. But you loved us so much. And I pray, Father, if there's one that's never trusted in your Son, maybe they know all the facts. Yeah, I know Christ died for my sins, they buried me. But they never recognize what a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner before a perfect, holy God they are. Whether they're a child or an adult. And that they would trust that Christ died. Not that they deserved it. They didn't. And I didn't. None of us do. But died for their sins personally. And that he was buried and realized he rose again so he could, you could declare us justified, righteous, and you could, it's justification unto life. You could give a spiritual life. I pray if there's one, Father, watching or here, your Holy Spirit would just really lay it heavy on their heart that they need to make that decision to trust in Christ before they leave this world. Once we leave, it's too late. And then again, I always pray, Father, that your grace would just motivate us, that you would give us hearts that love like you, eyes that see like you. You look at the lost, and though they're undeserved, you love them because your love is unconditional. And so, use us, Father. to reach the lost and redeem our time before Christ comes back, or we go, our bodies go to sleep and our spirits go to be with Him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.